This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week. I am so excited about this week's guest, Lauren Skay. You guys know her as the Zen Blonde on Instagram and on TikTok. She is so lovely. She lives in LA. She actually knows a number of the people who are on The Valley and Vanderpump Rules. And so she was the perfect person to recap the first episode of The Valley with. So we chat about some of the Bravo headlines before going into this week's Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. But we didn't get a chance to get into Summer House or The Real Housewives of Potomac. So I am going to just share some thoughts on those now. So Potomac, we get the Giselle and Ashley fashion line. It's called G&A. The logo's really cute. They sell like some really cute stuff. The fashion line, according to Karen, looked a little bit more like booty club nightclub wear, which I kind of have to agree with. But if you go on their website, it says full collection coming spring 2024. So I'm excited to see what their full collection will look like. It did feel really bad for Giselle this episode. Her father had been really sick. She was down to visit him. She came up for the event and he was having surgery the next day. We find out that he ends up passing not long after they wrap filming. And my heart just goes out to Giselle. It's a little hard to watch Candace and Wendy. I mean, Candace says, you know, I can send her love from afar. But Wendy is a little bit harsher about it. In general, I don't know why you can't just put crap aside just to acknowledge someone's loss or what someone is going through, even if you really can't stand them. I don't know. It's kind of, in general, Candace and Wendy are like really, I loved them. Well, Candace in particular. Wendy's kind of always irked me since her second season. But I really am sad at what's become of them on this show because they don't seem to want to engage with anyone. And it's almost like they're waiting for the whole cast to get thrown out and for Bravo to like recast around just the two of them with Karen. And that's not very realistic. So we'll see how the reunion goes. The preview for the reunion didn't look particularly exciting except for the stuff about Mia. And speaking of Mia, we find out that, you know, things with her and Gordon aren't great. It's really awkward to watch them in couples therapy because she seems pretty checked out and he seems to not get what the problem is. But then we find out that she was interested in leaving him and he drained all of her bank accounts, which she points out is abusive. And that is true. Wow. I think there's a lot more drama going on between the two of them than we realize. And speaking of drama, Ashley brings along Deborah, the quote-unquote Sesame Street character, to this fashion show. I don't know why she's doing that. Deborah hasn't been in the season thus far. She, you know, lied last season about Chris, Candace's husband, flirting with her. You know, on camera, it's very obvious that's not happening. So I don't know why she would bring Deborah around. I don't know if production told her to. It was a bad idea. Deborah ends up kind of confronting Candace as soon as filming wraps and is like, you talked about me poorly behind my back, say it to my face, you should apologize, kind of instigating an argument. And then Kierna kind of steps in and it sounds like the two of them get into an altercation, a physical altercation that had to be broken up. So we'll get to see that next week. It's always disappointing when there's physical fighting on these shows, and I don't really have any tolerance for it, especially Deborah. My God, like, she just looked like she was asking for a fight, and it's not cute. It's disappointing. And, you know, next week is the season finale, and we'll have to see where we go from there, because this season has not been fantastic. And I've always said Potomac is my favorite, so I really want them to get their act back together. You know, just like Vanderpump Rules, keep rising from the dead just when we think it's over. on Summer House. So a lot of you actually contacted me and said you disagreed with what I've been thinking about Carl and Lindsay, or that you agree, but you don't think Lindsay, that Carl is an entirely a victim in this, and that maybe he acts differently off camera. And you could be right. Who knows? I just get the sense that they're on camera all the time. And there's two times that it was off camera. One when it was just with Lindsay, and the other where there were witnesses. And the witnesses all seem to back Carl's version of events, which is that Lindsay just flipped. She snapped and she went, got really angry, kind of out of nowhere. And yeah. So I don't know if Carl's doing something off camera, but I do feel like it's tough to compare him to the way his behavior was when he was abusing drugs and alcohol. And now that he is not doing that, you know, to kind of hold his old behavior like over his head, I don't know if, you know, I feel like he's done a lot of work the last 3 years to show everyone that he is different. And he to me, he feels like he's someone coming coming out of a shell, you know, and he doesn't know who he is yet. So, you know, but again, I could be wrong. I'm just getting the sense that, you know, and there's things in their relationship that aren't great, like his ambition with career stuff, but she also seems to kind of not like any of his ideas. I don't know. They seem to have made some really poor choices together. Danielle pointed it out last year. Why are you moving into a $13,000, you know, a month apartment rental when neither of you have jobs? Lindsay is an influencer. Carl is trying to figure out what he wants. And it's not smart to sign a lease like that when you don't know where all of your money is coming from. And we do find out from Paige that she is looking to get a new apartment and she doesn't want to rely on Craig at all to finance part of it. She doesn't want him to have a say in how it's decorated also. But I think that's really smart. Until you're really together, you know, maybe don't make some of those decisions and don't maybe live beyond your means, which is what I think the other women were saying that Carl and Lindsay were doing. But again, we'll have to see how the rest of the season plays out. We find out that Amanda wants to move to New Jersey, which makes a lot of sense. I think she's over the city. I think she likes being outside with grass and trees and dogs and her parents being nearby. And she's just kind of like over the hustling lifestyle. Kyle is definitely not ready to do that. But, you know, it seems like that's probably what will make the most sense for them in the future. And Craig tells Kyle that he's working on his physical and mental health so that he can be the best person that it can be, you know, whether or not he is with Paige or not. And I actually think that's really smart. This is what we've seen him say on Southern Charm. We've seen that he's cut out hard liquor, which has not had the best effect on him. And it seems like he's doing really well and they seem to be doing well as a couple. So, you know, we'll see what happens with them also. West and Sierra are so adorable. I think they are so fun together. I love watching them. And then it was really interesting watching Carl, West, Jesse, and Sierra go to SoulCycle. The conversation that they have afterwards was very eye-opening, where Jesse asks if Lindsay apologized. And Carl says no, but he doesn't think Lindsay knows how hurtful her words are. And they kind of tell him, like, she needs to know. And, you know, this, if you get married, like, this is what your life is going to look like. It's not going to change. And Sierra opens up about her dad being a volatile drunk and that she grew up in an unstable emotional environment. And eventually her mom left him to guard the daughters, you know, against kind of that environment. But it did take a toll on her. And she said she would just hate to see a child brought into that exact same situation. And that is true. It's something that Lindsay and Carl need to talk about, you know, and we know that they break up, but maybe that is something that is going through Carl's mind. I'm sure maybe it's going through Lindsay's mind as well. And then the following weekend, everyone goes up but Carl, and people are trying to figure out why. Lindsay says he's bringing something for the theme party that he needs to do on Saturday, but we see a clip of him from the week prior telling the group that he wants to break the cycle of fighting, so he's thinking about not going up on a Friday night so that Lindsay's there, he's not, and then there can't be a fight between them, which is worrisome, to say the least. We find out from Kyle, he thinks they've been sleeping in separate bedrooms. And then we find out from Lindsay that they haven't been having a kind of regular sex, and says, you know, Carl isn't a very sexual person, and Paige and Amanda are very concerned. They're, you know, these are really sensitive topics to bring up. There are a lot of reasons that Carl may not be interested in having sex with Lindsay right now. He may feel, you know, emotionally unsafe around her. He may be on SSRIs, you know, antidepressants that can limit someone's sex drive. There's so many reasons for this, but it's just another thing that shows that maybe something is a little off in their relationship. So we'll see how it all plays out over the next few weeks that the season is still airing. We're still pretty new into it, so I'm interested to see what's next. All right. Well, as always, I enjoy hearing from all of you, so you can reach out to me on Instagram at Mandy Slutsker. If you enjoy this podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. We'll take a quick break and then back with Lauren, the Zen Blonde.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, everyone. I am here with Lauren Skay. You all know her as the Zen Blonde on TikTok and on Instagram. We met at BravoCon, and she just radiated the most beautiful, warm, golden energy. And I reached out to her to see if she could come on the podcast to talk about the premiere of The Valley. How are you doing?
Hello, Mandy. Oh my God, you radiated the most beautiful energy. And I'm so glad we finally get to have like an extended conversation, because BravoCon was the most frenetic experience of my life. And I just remember leaving our conversation being like, wow, I really like her. Like, she's so awesome. I wish she lived in LA.
My friend Jody was like, that's the Zen Blonde. She was like, I follow her on Instagram.
I feel like the Great and Powerful Oz when people are like, the Zen Blonde. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I feel like a superhero. I like actually have thought about switching back to just my name, because I created the name literally when I was like I guess like 7 years ago when I was teaching meditation on the side.
Oh, I love that you taught meditation. Do you dabble in that at all still?
I meditate, but I realized through that like experience, I just like prefer to like have that toolbox. I don't love teaching it. Mm. I actually lived as a Buddhist nun for a little bit. So like I got really into Buddhism, and I still like, it's still a part of like, I guess my ethos, I guess, but I went down a very deep spiritual track for a while, like, you know, just in my 20s, and dove right in, which is literally like almost the antithesis of like the things that I like now. But I've always liked both. I don't know. I guess there's two sides to me.
I love that.
But yeah, anyway,
though,
my name for the account is so funny because I'm always like, yeah, it didn't really start off as like a pop culture account, but then COVID happened and I was like, yeah, oh my God, I can't talk to my coworkers about this anymore. Like, what am I going
to
do?
Need to find other people.
I just exploded on the internet.
Oh, that's so fun. A Buddhist nun. And to be able to take those skills though, of being able to like remain calm and like, you know, keep your body calm and your mind calm during chaos must have served you quite well during the pandemic.
It did. I mean, God, weren't we all just like struggling so hard? But it definitely, I know how to like self-regulate, I would say. But I mean, I think we were all going through it. Like, oh my gosh, it was just, I didn't need, you know, I'd done like a bunch of silent retreats and stuff the year before. And I was like, oh my God, I was ready to like go and have some fun that year.
You're like,
I don't need another silent
everywhere.
Retreat. I was like, this is the real spiritual practice. Oh my God, I can't escape it. So
that is too funny. Well, as we are recording, some news has broke that unfortunately Kate Middleton has cancer. We've all been searching for her for a while, and it turns out the royal family was not lying when they said that she had abdominal surgery. What was your first reaction, and also how have you been kind of like involved in the Kate gate, as you will?
Oh my God. Well, the memes have been just nourishing for my soul. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there have been some stellar memes, especially the Photoshop memes. I have been loving them. I obviously wish Kate all the best. And I'm like a royal watcher for sure, like 100%.
Oh, okay.
I've always been fascinated by the royal family. I have a dual citizen with Ireland. My grandmother's from Ireland. So like I have those European relatives that are really into it. And so I think I just grew up hearing about it. And I didn't think that there was anything that insidious going on. I just didn't, it was just confusing for everyone. And I'm still not convinced that they didn't have somebody different walking through that farmer's market. Because it just didn't look like her to me. But I didn't really understand why, but maybe she just was much frailer. Yeah. But the whole thing was weird. And now it makes sense that they didn't want, like from her message, they wanted to be able to explain it to their kids who were very young in a way that was okay for them. And that makes total sense for me. And I just hope she's okay. I wish her the absolute best. Cancer is such a scary diagnosis.
It's so scary. I was with Mary Payne Gilbert from Pink Shade last week, and John Hill, and we were all talking about it. And she had probably the most accurate assessment of what she thought was going on. She said, I think she had some sort of bowel surgery and has one of those bags. And, you know, when you're... you know, urine and feces are like coming out into a bag right outside of you. You don't really want to be around others. And especially, you know, the royal family and the British, and they're so buttoned up and they would never want to talk about that or, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I was like, maybe, but couldn't they just get a photo? You know, like she could hide the bag in the photo. It's not like you have to, you know, get a video, all that stuff. But she was closest to being accurate. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. And I don't really follow the royal family. So I'm a fan of Prince Harry because I was lucky enough to meet him.
You did?
Yeah. I met him and like spent a couple hours.
Tell me everything, please. I need to know.
So I was kind of supposed to be a fly on the wall in the situation. I was staffing someone that was on a panel with him at the International AIDS Conference in 2016. And he had he was doing a panel with Elton John, and I was actually more excited to see Elton John. You know, I'm a huge Elton John fan, and
Mandy,
I only follow the royals. So
die.
Oh, Elton John was everything you thought he would be.
For both of them, I would die. My soul would leave my body.
And the person I was staffing knew Elton and his family very well because she was from Zimbabwe and she was orphaned due to HIV and tuberculosis. And the Elton John AIDS Foundation had helped pay for her schooling. And she was HIV positive and she stayed on medication and stuff. So that was a panel with youth. HIV positive youth, and you know, just talking about youth issues, and he was the moderator of it. And so the prep in the green room, like I was there with him, so I'm not having like a full-on conversation, but he struck me as someone who was very nervous because the HIV global community can be kind of intense, just like the Bravo community can. And you're supposed to use the right words and the right phrases and the right, you know, like there's a whole thing with it. And if you deviate or you say kind of the wrong thing, people may jump down your throat many times for good reason. But, you know, I think he just looked like someone who wanted to make his mom proud. That was the vibe I got from him. Like, very serious, very, like, I want to get this right. I'm getting everyone's name accurate. I'm, like, getting their whole story straight, you know, beforehand, before going out. He seemed very genuine.
Unlike William at the BAFTA Awards being the president and not knowing anything about the movies. I literally die. You know, my old boss, her friend married the guy who was like their minder. Like, he was like basically a hired older brother for William and Harry. And he was mentioned a lot in Harry's book and like in a lot of the different media about them. But anyway, she was in a wedding with Harry and she said he was like such a gentleman and danced with every little girl at the wedding. And so I've heard such good things. And actually, a few people I know knew Meghan in Canada, and I've heard great things about her as well. And then one person I know went to high school with her. So I love the background royalty. I love it. And I've heard great things about Harry. But was Elton cool?
He was like, I was way more focused on him the whole time. So he walked in and he's like, "Hello, darlings." And he like puts his like arms in the air. And the girl I was with, she calls him Uncle Elton. And I like couldn't get over it. I was like, wait, I knew that you were in touch with the AIDS, like Elton John AIDS. I didn't know, like, you knew him personally.
I didn't know he was your uncle.
Like this, she called him Uncle Elton. Things. It was like a whole, and I didn't recognize his husband. So I like looked at him. I'm like, isn't it crazy to be in a room with all these people?
I die. Like his and he's like, yeah, kind of like, it's like kind of at my day to day.
Yeah, right. You know, and then I was like, oh, when I figured it out, I was just, but I did tell Elton John because my mom had passed within like 6 months of this moment. And I said that my dad and I love the song "I'm Still Standing." We used to dance to it all the time. Like when I was a little kid, they would play like music and we listened to it really recently. Like we were on vacation and I was like, "Dad, I feel like we need, like, this is like our anthem." Right. And I told Elton John that and he was like, "Isn't it amazing what music can do?" Like, he was everything. And then his security. So there was like the Harry head security that scared me. And then Elton's security, he didn't listen to. So they said, after this panel, you need to like go left, like walk off left. Don't go right. And the right was where the crowd was. And so there, you know, this panel was in an auditorium that held like 12,000 people. It was the like largest plenary at the conference, and like he immediately went right straight into the crowd, hugs for everyone, photos with everyone. Like his security was scrambling, like it was hilarious. And like Harry followed his instructions, like immediately exited. Like Harry was like following the rules, and Elton just. But it was clear that they had a friendship. You know, obviously, I remember that Elton John was friends with his mother, you know, that, but it seemed like they actually like really knew each other. I don't know, but that's, I'm also like not the person that knows, like I couldn't even name like the kids of William and Kate. Like I haven't followed it very closely.
But you know what? We all have our little like fascinations. You know what I mean? Like, you're either like are into it or you're not. Like my friend's so into the Kennedys and I don't really care about the Kennedys, you know, but it's like a similar vibe. But yeah, that's really, really like, that is fascinating that you got to witness that. I did go to one of Elton's last shows here in LA with my dad. And yeah, I'm Still Standing is such a bop. Like his music is just so great, but he was definitely like on the Roomba piano, like just like the piano was like moving around, you know, and it's like, oh, Elton, you're getting older. Yeah. And I talked to somebody at his door because he had an activation in the Grove. And they actually all knew him. And I was like, oh, well, like, you know, he's getting older. I'm sure he wants to spend more time with his family. And they were like, actually, like, he really wants to spend more time on his soccer team, like his football team. Oh, and I was like, team.
Okay, that's so
I guess
funny.
He has a soccer team. So I was like, okay, so it's not about.
Just like Sonia.
Right?
Didn't Sonia Morgan like have like a Nigerian soccer team or something?
Oh my God. Wait, when did she say that?
Maybe I'm misremembering.
Is this old school information?
Like old school. Like, yeah. And I don't know if it was accurate.
Because Sonia's told us so many things, like John Kennedy, and like, you know, I've raised millions of dollars for the LGBTQIA.
She's like hanging out and partying with him, and it's like, no, he actually passed.
That literally. I love Sonia in every way, and I love all the things she tells us, real and real, not real.
Sonia is one of my favorite housewives because she fits the mold, which is my favorite, which is a delusional housewife, but whose delusion does not harm others.
Yes.
And the other person that really falls in that category, Jessel, for sure, from New York, and Karen Huger. But unfortunately, this week, she partook in an activity that could have harmed others. She got her second DUI. I didn't realize she had a first one.
I didn't realize she had a first one, too. And when I was reading that, I was like, oof, like, you know, if you have two DUIs, like, if you shouldn't, having one DUI is bad, but having two DUIs is like, yeah. You can learn from the first incident.
Right.
That didn't scare the shit out of you. Like, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know. And how she reacted, which was just like, I know you guys are also worried about me, and like invoking her mom, like she had been at dinner with a friend talking about her late mother and saying that she was very like upset and the ride home. But I don't know.
If I can afford to Uber my ass every mm-hmm. single place I go, even if I'm having one drink, because I am so paranoid about somehow being like, maybe I didn't eat enough or something. And then that one drink not having me under the legal limit by even a hair. Right. Or even one drink throwing me off. And in LA, people are always jumping out in the middle of the street, and you really have to be a mm-hmm. defensive driver. So I, for myself, like even just with one drink, if I'm going to have one drink, I still Uber. Because a DUI is $20,000 and I can never live with myself if I hurt someone.
It is?
They say like on average in LA, if you get a DUI, you'd spend around 20 grand dealing with it.
Wow.
And so anyway, an Uber is from a mental health standpoint much better than...
Yeah.
If I can afford an Uber, all these housewives that are getting DUIs can afford a freaking Uber.
So I was talking with my friend about this, and I let her know that it happened. And she's like, where did it happen? I was like, Potomac. And she goes, there's police in Potomac. And that's exactly was my first reaction. Like, we live in D.C. Potomac is a suburb of Washington, D.C. It is very residential. There's very few, like, retail stores, restaurants, everything's in Bethesda or in Rockville. It's not in Potomac. And it's very, the streets are quite dark, windy. There's a lot of trees. I don't even know if there's like Ubers out there.
But the thing like is, there the boobies, is. But, I promise you there is. Because I grew up in Rockland County. Like I grew up like 14 miles north of New York City. So it's like similar vibes where it's like, mm-hmm. it's like on the other side of the Hudson from Westchester. And even if I have to wait 10 minutes for the Uber, I can always get an Uber there because I never have a car when I'm back sitting there anymore because my parents don't live there and everything. But I will say, because it is more residential, like I've definitely noticed that when I've been out, that person that I just saw have three or four drinks is getting into their car, you know?
That's
and there's
so
a level
scary.
Of comfortability because mm-hmm. there aren't as many people crossing the street and it is less foot traffic and it is less... I guess less opportunities for something to happen because there's not as many people or cars and there's wide open spaces. So there's like a perceived sense of safety and also being able to get away with it.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre to me, you know, and I lived in the New York City culture where none of us drove, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there was driving in New York City, if probably some of the New York housewives would have some DUIs.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
But I wonder how they fare in the Hamptons. They must just get car service because I bet a bunch of them don't own cars.
So that's what I was wondering. Like, why couldn't Karen Huger have a car service? This was at 11:50 p.m. That's pretty late. Like, even, I don't know. Just, I don't know. I was very disappointed. I hope that if she does have some sort of problem that she's, like, addressing it, same as Shannon Bedore. It's not mm-hmm. okay, but, like, thank God no one was hurt.
Yes.
And, you know, she has to address what she did and, you know, not make excuses. The other
piece of news before we get into Vanderpump is Anna Marie isn't coming back to Beverly Hills. Were you surprised at how quickly they announced this?
Okay, first of all, I know it's a Dutch name, but I just feel like I'm being gaslit with the Anna Marie. Like, it's Anne Marie. You know, I'm like, stop trying to gaslight me. And it's like with this fake name thing. Am I surprised at how quickly they announced it? It was pretty quick. And I wonder if that means it was amicable.
No, because what she posted was that she was really disappointed about it.
Oh, okay. And I didn't see her post. I just saw like the headlines around it. So I didn't actually see what she posted.
She posted this like thing about how she wishes she didn't listen. She like listened to the wrong people. They asked, I don't know. It was almost like, are you trying to throw Kyle under the bus by saying that like Kyle encouraged you to behave a different way than you normally do?
I think her number one priority was staying in Kyle's good graces this season.
Yeah.
Like, she was Kyle's kind of like
bitch.
Puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her bitch. She was Kyle's bitch. And, you know, I think some people just get it wrong. Like, you know who else really got it wrong for me was Noella.
Mm.
Like, she was such a weird housewife. Like, she just was so clunky. And I felt Anna Marie was rather clunky as well. I mean, sometimes I wonder if they were to give these people, like, a second season. But I think it was just, like, the esophagus of it all, you know?
Yeah.
It was just such a tired conversation,
That they were uncomfortable with her from the beginning, because after they casted her and started filming, they found out that her husband had these accusations of sexual assault. And then she has all these statements about and her husband about transgender people and that are really not great. And so maybe they just like wanted to distance themselves, and this was just then the fact that she kind of flopped was made it easier. But they also, it sounded like they filmed all the stuff about her trying to find her birth parents, and none of it was shown. So I feel like we didn't even get to see her. We just saw her freak out about Sutton and like not let it go.
I also feel like I need to know you for a little bit to be invested in a story about you trying to find your birth parents.
That's true.
You know
that
what
is
I mean?
True.
Like,
yeah.
I don't really give a fuck. Like, right. Not to be rude. Like, yeah. I wish the best to find them. But like, if it was like Sonia Morgan had like a secret birth parent, I'd be like, okay, like, who is this person? And like, what are they doing? Like, genetically, are they the same as Sonia? And they're like drinking a martini somewhere. Like, I would want to know who they were. But she was just such a flop. I wonder, do you think they're going to like replace her with someone, or do you think they're going to?
I hope so, because I do think they've had a couple flops in a row. Like, they got Garcelle and Sutton right, and then they had Diana, who was a flop, and then they had Anna Marie, who's a flop. I think the people who flop, either Diana just wasn't the right fit, but the others, like Noella and Anna Marie, I feel like just weren't themselves. And if you're not yourself, if you're trying to play a character, it doesn't work and production gets frustrated. Like, just be yourself. So if Anna Marie was trying to, she was like, I was just listening to what I was told. Well, don't do that. Just be how you normally would be. And either you work on camera or you don't. But they liked her, they probably, maybe her real personality is interesting to watch, and she just wasn't showing us that.
And I think some people feel awkward around cameras. Like, I feel awkward when I know I'm being filmed. So like, I feel like some people just have it and some people don't, you know what I mean? And so like, what I would say, at least with like Diana Jenkins, she was unhinged. Like, the boyfriend, the singing, and like, he's like, you made them the villain? Yet I am. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I loved it. Like, in a sense, like, she was crazy, and like, the some of the things she did were wrong, and like, I'm glad she's gone. But what I'm saying is, she was herself, like, kind of exactly what you're saying. But I think what I would love to see is, like, I would love if they got Faye Resnick to do it, because I think she'd be great.
Me too. I'm so interested in her.
Yeah,
I always have been.
Beautiful. She looks like a vampire, like, in the sense that I'm like, you like look so perfect, and I do go to the same like beauty treatment person as her. I can't say, I'm not going to say which one, but they were like, well, she has gotten a lot of work. And I'm like, well, who the hell is her doctor? Because I want to go to them when I am like 40. Like, I would like to start the process of like Faye Resnicking myself, because she looks insanely amazing. And I've seen her, I guess, two or three times in person. And she's just very strikingly beautiful. And I think she's used to being in those circles. So I think she'd be comfortable. And I think she would just be interesting. So I don't know if she would do it. She and Kathy are so tight. And I don't know how, if she would do something like that, but I think she would be great.
If they bring back Kim and Kathy, that would be fascinating. I hope mm-hmm. Kim is like in a stronger place with her sobriety, that she would actually do okay on camera, or at least be a friend of, where she's around, but maybe they're not following her personal story. But I've always loved Kim Richards. I think she's kooky. I love her sober. She's like a kooky, fun drawing on the walls. Like, who does that? It's so interesting to me. And their dynamic is interesting. And as long as it doesn't get too toxic, you know, can we actually see a season of them getting along and kind of going through some of their history in order to like rebuild? That would be really interesting for me.
I would love that. And I'm obsessed with Kim. I love when she just got up and she's like, well, the bulgogi was great.
Everything she does.
Like, she just taps out. And that's why I don't know if she would do it. Cause I think she just is like, I am like taking the path of least resistance, and I'm going to excuse myself when people start getting crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll see.
She's just in her peaceful era, her peaceful drawing era, drawing on the walls.
Well, speaking of peaceful eras, it seems in Vanderpump Rules that Lala is claiming that she's trying to have her peaceful era. Want to get your thoughts. It sounds like the reunion was taped last week and that Lala and Ariana had allegedly a friendship-ending argument. Have you heard anything else about that? You know, what do you think it even was about?
I think that, well, I did see like the after show thing where Lala, she said like mm-hmm. somebody said to her about like being eviscerated in a fight and also her and Ariana not being friends. And she's like, well, one of those two is true. I'll let you decide which. Like,
oh, yeah.
I.e. being like she wasn't eviscerated in the fight, but like they aren't friends anymore. And there was a fight, obviously an implication of that. I think it must have been really hard for Lala because she clearly went through an actual trauma with mm-hmm. everything that happened with Randall. And I think she probably was waiting for her moment where it was kind of going to be her scandal, where she would get a lot of public sympathy and attention and brand deals and just favor. And then scandal kind of eclipsed that. And that's not to say that like, any of that was what happened with Randall was intentional. It's just like, well, I kind of hope I get something out of this awful thing that's happening. And so I think there was like that some animosity there that was like bubbling under the surface, and she probably couldn't verbalize that because it's a little awkward to be like, I wish that I was getting these benefits that you're getting because of what's happening to me. And I really feel bad for Lala, even with her conversation with Katie in the bar when she was saying, like, I carry this with me. I, like, felt that. I was like, mm-hmm. I do think you carry this with you. I think you're going through it. Like, you have a kid with this monster, and you now have to worry about your kid being with him and just the relationship there and just knowing that you have to share this child with this person that you probably wish you could never see again and never have to have any sort of communication or contact with. So I feel for her a lot, but I think that was bubbling under the surface.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate assessment, I think. You know,
yeah.
The hard part about Lala, and it's not that she should change this part of herself, it's just that she, like when she speaks, she does speak with her chest, right? She mm-hmm. says everything as if she 100% believes it, as if she's like 100% right, that there's no part of her that could make any mistake. And then later she's like, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Or, oh, yeah, I was totally wrong. And it's hard for people to feel sympathy because it's like you went ahead and you like dove in and people told you this was not a good idea and you ignored it. And then you went after everyone that brought up, you know, things you didn't want to hear. So like it's your own fault is, I think, what yeah. a lot of people feel. And whereas like Ariana's a bit more passive, she doesn't kind of irk everyone around her in the same way. Although this season, it feels like everyone is irked by her.
Yeah, but I think like you have to look at it too. It's like these are a bunch of people that are on TV because they like to be on TV and they enjoy that attention. And like even like Sheena, like Dancing with the Stars, like there's a level of like, oh, she got the lead role and I didn't. Mm-hmm. With all of them, of course there is, because like they're not, it's not like they tripped and fell and were on TV suddenly. Like I just saw this interview today on TikTok and it was with Sheena regarding John Mayer. And like the John Mayer comment that was made in this last episode, it was not the first comment that was made. She did a whole interview with, I think it was Access Hollywood or something like that, where she was like, we're just hanging out. Like there's so many rumors about me and John. Like I don't care. Like I'm about to have a show with the Jonas Brothers on Disney. Like, you know, and like,
I definitely like, saw that.
She, you know what I mean? Like she was like literally like, where I'm not going to say wink, like, you know, she was literally just telling everyone that they were hooking up, like, but trying to be coy about it. And it's like, you know, you don't do that unless you're trying to drum up some attention, you know? And so I think it's funny too, because they have these kind of like interlopers now, like Joe and stuff like that, who they're like basically claiming have like salt burned their group. And like, you know, like, it's like, yeah, but to a degree, like, isn't that what everyone here has kind of done, that everyone wanted to be on TV? And, you know, like everyone has kind of found their way.
Everyone but Ariana. I know that she wanted to be a star. I think she wanted to be an actress. I think she wanted to be a real theater person. But she found herself working at these restaurants and then fell in love with Tom Sandoval. And he was on the show. And in the beginning, like, she's in the background of season one. She's trying not to kind of be around. You know, she's Sheena's backup dancer at one point. You know, we kind of know who she is and we kind of get to know her over season two also. But I don't think this was what she sought out. Whereas I think every other person on the show sought it out. You know, Katie also doesn't seem like someone who really sought it out. It was like Kristen and Stassi that I think really wanted it. And she's like, okay, you know, because
I would agree with you.
Yeah, I feel like those were the only two. So I do feel like they're looking at this how you and I probably would, as people who are not on TV, and like what boundaries would we create for ourselves and how would we move within a group of people. You know, and everyone else is kind of like, yeah, but we're on a show. And they're kind of like, fuck the show. I'm not going to put myself in a situation that I don't want to be in. And the rest of them are willing to be in any situation to be on television.
100%. They are willing to put themselves. It's so funny, too, because like LA is just so funny. Like, you know, obviously, like it's like, in New York, like somebody might do something to get ahead in finance, or like, I don't know, in San Francisco, they might do something to get ahead in tech. But like here, it's like the industry is entertainment. So like there are so many people that are dying to be on TV. And like, it was funny, like I was at the See You Next Tuesday the week at the last episode, right? And so I saw the whole conversation going down. But the two girls that showed up at Tom Sandoval's pool party, I saw them approach Tom. And like, it was definitely that starfucker energy. Like, I'm not going to lie. And I remember just like rolling my eyes and being like, oh my God, like these traitorous women, like how could you do this knowing what's out there? And like, of course, like I shouldn't be judging them so hard, but I was in the moment in my head being like, no, we should all be boycotting this guy. But I think there's, but guess what? They got on like the episode, they were in the pool and they were rolling their eyes at him, but they were definitely, after filming ended, they definitely went out to the Abbey with him and were just really like, I think, excited to be with somebody who's famous. And I'm like, okay, but like Ted Bundy was famous and I'm not going to go hang out with him, you know, like, but there are people that go into jail and have conjugal visits with serial killers. So I guess like, you know, I mean, we're all different. And it's funny too, because even at the Vanderpump Rules premiere, like Tom shows up with this girl who's like this gorgeous brunette. And I'm like, oh my God, she's so far out of his league. What the hell is happening? And then like, you know, I didn't like post anything about it. Like I had taken like a video of them. And then like a few weeks later, it was announced that she was his girlfriend. And then it's like, okay, this girl's rap sheet was like Leonardo DiCaprio. And I'm like, you dated Leonardo DiCaprio before this? And I'm like, is this just like all about PR now and like optics and like people wanting to be in the spotlight, that they're like, if I get close to this person, even though he's like completely vilified, it's going to give me eyeballs. And I mean, it's going to be that shock factor. And my name's going to be out there because it's like, oh my God, like who would date him? you know?
That's so fascinating, because I'm thinking of it now in the DC lens and politics and, mm-hmm. you know, who gets close to who in the Senate or in the House of Representatives, just to, like, who's angling for leadership positions and, like, what you're willing to do. And then with Donald Trump, everyone wanting to, you know, because he's the head of the party, like, just kind of throw everything that they've said prior out the window and, like, who can be the most loyal to him. It is fascinating. I don't know what drives these women, because I wonder if the inverse is true in heterosexual relationships, where if a woman does something really terrible, like, is she still getting suitors?
That's a really good question.
Like Casey Anthony.
Like, yeah.
Like, that kind of a, you know, I'm thinking, I mean, okay.
Well, look at, like, Rachel Dolezal, OnlyFans.
We should stop comparing people who cheat to people who murder, but.
Well, you know what? Guess what? Tom Sandoval did it first, because at the end of the episode, he brought up Scott Peterson and sounded like a Scott Peterson apologist. He was like, allegedly.
It's not allegedly, because he was convicted.
Thank you.
So you don't have to use the word allegedly.
Literally. And also, Tom Sandoval, in that article, comparing himself to the people he compared himself to, oh my God, you know? But it's easy to have a true crime crossover. His pool party was so sad. Like, his pool party was so cringe.
It reminded me of the birthday party, where it's like half the people are on his payroll.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but when they were in the pool, it was like everyone was gathered around the pool in a way that they could get in the frame.
I would have never noticed that.
It wasn't like people were dispersed. Incredible. I'm like, these are some thirst monsters. Oh, everyone wants to be on TV. And now he has no one except for the people that really just want to attach themselves to him so they can get on TV. He's like, it was supposed to be three people and then 20 people showed up. It's like, yeah, because all 20 of those people wanted to be on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And you don't have real friends anymore.
That's true, especially the people who I hang out with mainly.
Please, I could have gone up to Tom at See You Next Tuesday and be like, Tom, oh my God, how are you doing? Schwartz said somebody should give you a hug. Let me give you a hug. I would have been at that pool party. I could have, if I really wanted to be at that pool party, I could have been there. I promise you, I'm not even joking.
No, I know. Wow.
Easily. He was such an easy target. Such an easy target. Because he was at that point, remember the hate for him? It was like, you know,
yeah.
You don't want that stench on you.
I felt bad for him at BravoCon, honestly. And I just don't think anyone should be booed, like, more than once. You know what I mean? Like,
I definitely screamed Team Ariana when I was leaving the Abbey at him. But it was a different time.
Yeah. No, I just mean, like, he is, you know, on the show. And mm-hmm. we love the show, and we're watching him on a panel, and it got to the point that you couldn't hear anything he was saying or anyone else was saying because people were booing so hard. And it just felt like the amount of energy people are putting in at being angry at him, who have no relation to him, don't know him. Like, could you save some of that energy and, like, use it for something else? I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel. Like, do I think he's a good guy? No. But it's not that big of a deal. I don't feel like I'm personally scorned by something that he did. He's just, like, the audacity of it is shocking.
I think for a lot of women, it was like we could think of, like, a situation that was, like, similar and yes. we could really relate with Ariana. And then it was like we're projecting our own shit onto this situation.
100%.
You know what I mean? And I even felt that. And I met Ariana quite a few times. I actually, like, shared an Uber with her the Thursday before this broke. Like, what? So. But, like, I mean, she would recognize my face probably, but I just have mutual friends with her.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I saw her a lot after it. And I just even just being, like, peripherally, like, having met her a few times, like, I still had that, like, energy of, like, oh, my God, like, I could remember, like, an asshole that I dated. And I was angry for Tom, but it was like, you're bringing your own shit into it. You know what I mean? Like.
That's what I was thinking, and why he got so much hate is because women all around the world and who watch the show in, like, many different countries. That's what's so wild, is that it was not just the United States where this was happening. You know, yeah, they're projecting. But when it got to the point where he was getting, like, death threats and being told to, like, hurt himself, which happens in every scandal at this point because we don't know how to behave on social media as, like, human beings. But it's like, okay, guys, can we calm down? But I want to know where you're at in terms of, like, the Lala Sheena or the Katie
Ariana? Like, kind of, do you have a pick a side in that? Can you kind of see all sides?
I feel like I just relate to Katie and Ariana more. Mm-hmm. But I also like have love for Lala and Sheena. Like, I do really feel for Lala. I think she's like really traumatized by Randall. I do. And Sheena's just like, how could you not like Sheena? I mean, you got to have a soft spot for Sheena, but I think Sheena can kind of have a one-track mind and like isn't the most loyal, but it's not in a malicious way. It's just right. Like, she's kind of a pushover in certain ways and doesn't want to have negative feeling towards people for long periods of time. But yeah, I relate more to Katie and Ariana for sure, 100%. What about you? Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I feel like I can see both sides really well. Like, I understand Ariana 100%. The thing is, she is on a show. And so you don't really get to dictate everything if you're going to be on said show. I've 100% really feel for Katie because she was very wronged by Dom Sandoval in her marriage. Like, mm-hmm. that, I blame so much of it on him, but not on Schwartz for letting him be influenced. With Sheena, I feel for her too, though, because she did have this friendship. And according to Allie, you know, in her birth chart, she just wants peace and everyone to be happy. And if she's trying to seek that always, and it's not in a place where everyone else wants that, like, that must be very difficult. With Lala, it's just like, maybe don't preach so much. I think what she was saying really was valid. Like, hey, I held on to so much anger and it did not serve me. And I want to share that with you because you're going through a similar experience. Maybe you can learn from what I did wrong. But she doesn't say it in that way. Mm-hmm. Her delivery is the issue. I think with almost everything related to Lala, it's a delivery. It's not like what's the meaning behind it.
Because whenever she's had time to process and think and then comes yeah. back a second time, I'm always like, oh, like, that's yeah. what you should have said. And like, this makes sense. And like, you are like reasonable.
100%.
So I'm right there with you. I think Katie in general is having a great season. And I think Katie's been like wronged, like even in her edits. And like, yeah. I've met Katie as well. And she's honestly like a very nice person. And like, I think she has a boundary with people, but like, I think her and Ariana are the most normal. And so that's why I relate to them more. I think they're like, again, like what you were saying before, I think they almost did trip and fall into a TV show more than anyone. So I think they're just more relatable.
I've always liked Katie. Like, I think she yeah. was a little bit of a mean girl when it was like her, Stassi, and Kristen, mm-hmm. and they just weren't very nice to other people, but she was also really young and also recovering from a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So when that story came out, I like felt like everything about her made sense to me. I'm like, yeah. oh, we just didn't know her story. We didn't know her mm-hmm. backstory. And now that I do, I feel like I understand her so much more. And I do think she's got a really good read on people. You know,
she does. I think she has a really,
really good read. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think, like, honestly, Tom Schwartz would have driven me nuts. I know. He would have driven me nuts because he is that guy that, like, you know, sets off the bomb and is like, oh, like, why did it explode? Like, you know, like, he, yeah. like, he instigates and he does all these things and he does all these things that would be maddening to a partner, but then kind of plays dumb and aloof and like, oh, shucks, like, poor me, you know, like, I'm just here in a corner doing nothing and she's flipping out, you know. So I'm glad that they will have their single eras and can just, you know, go their separate ways. And I hope she meets someone great if that's what she's looking for. But he would drive me crazy. He would drive yeah. me insane, you know.
But as a friend, I think he'd be fantastic.
He would be such a fun friend, right? You know, I mean, other than the fact that you'd have to hang out with Tom Sandoval too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Well, you could be like Jax. Jax is really close friends with Schwartz and also doesn't see Sandoval.
That's true. All right. Well, I'll consider the Schwartz friendship then.
Okay. Speaking of Jax, shall we dive into the valley?
Oh, please say less. Say less.
So, oh my gosh. I couldn't believe that it started with Jax acknowledging that he was fired and that he was humbled by that experience. That was like, you're not, right? Like, you weren't.
The word, like, Jax Taylor and Humbled like do not ever exist in the same universe. Batman is like, I was at a birthday party with him once, and I went to him because I was introducing myself to everyone. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen every season of VPR. I think I've seen seasons one and two, and I've seen the last two seasons. Okay, so I'm like, and at that point, I really like I was in a picture with Brock, and I didn't even know it. Like I didn't know who he was. This was a different time. But anyway, I went up to him and I was like, oh, hi, like I'm Lauren. Nice to meet you. We're at a birthday party. Okay. Like everyone's making introductions. And he's like, hi. And I'm like, sorry, I didn't catch your name. Like even Joe Biden's going to be like, hi, I'm Joe Biden. Or hi, I'm Joe. Like, like it was like, what are you fucking Cher? Like just say, hi, I'm Jax.
Taylor Swift introduces herself.
Yes. But I'm supposed to know who you are. And guess what? My sister was there. My sister had no idea who any of them were.
Yeah.
So some people actually really don't know who any of these people are, believe it or not. We're just in a little bubble of people that do.
And I feel like most, especially A-list celebrities, like appreciate people who don't. My brother used to live in New York City, and he lived at one point in Gramercy Park, and he had a full-on conversation with Jimmy Fallon and did not know, right? Didn't know. Ended the conversation, met up with his friends, and was like, was that Jimmy Fallon? And he's just a little bit aloof, a little bit kind of was like, I don't know, he was wearing a hat, like he had a kid in the stroller. Like
a friend of mine worked for Sports Illustrated Swim and he was running the Instagram account when he was like at graduate school. And Gigi Hadid was like a newer like model. So she was, I think, trying to make nice with the people on the social team. And so she invited him out for drinks. And he is with this group of people and he's like, oh, talking to this guy. And he's like, oh, what do you do? And the guy's like, oh, I'm a musician. And he's like, oh, what instrument do you play? And the table erupted in laughter. And Gigi was like, that's Joe Jonas. And he had no idea. And then they saw each other on a red carpet a few years later. And he was like to my friend, he's like, oh, aren't you the guy that thought I played the trumpet or something? You know, but like really, like he did, you know? Yeah. So it's like, but it's odd just not to like introduce yourself. And my friend had that experience with Tyler Cameron once, the Bachelor guy at a party.
Yeah.
And so like, it's like some people just, I don't know, if I would never be too big for my britches that I would, even if I was Michelle Obama, I would introduce myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Although I did this interesting podcast with Melissa Reich, your bish therapist. And we were talking about how becoming famous actually can change people's brains. So like your neuro pathways change. She said, even when you get 10,000 Instagram subscribers, like the reward system changes. And I was like, I can't even imagine like a million or being on a TV show that's watched by millions or, you know, and it does. Because my question was, would Tom Sandoval have carried out this affair without the show and without like how his ego evolved with the show? And I don't know the answer. It sounds like probably yes. He's been a bit ostentatious throughout, you know, as we've known him. But for some people, their behavior gets a lot worse. And Stassi's reflected on this about how she felt like she was rewarded for bad behavior. And it took distance and time from the show for her to realize that her behavior was like unacceptable and not cute. And that she needed to actually change how she behaved. And it wasn't all about her, you know? And that's just so interesting to hear someone like realize that with some distance from the show.
Time and space, like she came out of the haze of it all.
Yeah.
Know? That's really interesting. I'm going to have to check out that episode because that's fascinating to me. And I think like, you know, we see it with like people like Britney Spears who like they say like you can get stuck at the age where trauma occurs. And I've always thought like it's fame, a little bit of a traumatic experience in a way, like certain kinds of fame or attention. And I'm like, well, there must be traumatic elements to it because like even when I've like done TikToks that have gone viral about like certain celebrities and then like the fans come for you, like it's like kind of like it's very overwhelming. And that's such a small scale compared to like being on a show that's on Bravo or something like that. But like, I guess being constantly inundated, I can't really imagine what that must feel like, good and bad. And then just how you internalize those things. And I think what it seems like is like a lot of these people have yes people around them and internalize all the good things about them. I think we're seeing that with what J-Lo's put out, that she clearly has a lot of yes people around her that have allowed her to create the movie that she created and all the documentary behind it that is just totally all over TikTok right now because it's super cringe.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, girl.
I'm also not on TikTok.
J-Lo TikTok. I'm going to send you some videos because she did this movie. She invested like $20 million of her own money into it.
I heard about it.
But the documentary around it and the making of it is so cringe that like people are like recreating the scenes from it like in parody.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad. But it just says to me like, ooh, like even J-Lo, I think like at this point must have a lot of yes people around her.
Well, you know? And then no one's ever telling you, actually, this isn't a good idea, or I don't
think it's like you're getting high on your own fumes, you know? Like, this actually is a horrible idea. It's a horrible investment. And, like, I'm going to just save you, you know, pain.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, speaking of, like, the Valley and these people, not all of them have had any fame yet. Some have dabbled. So I want to go through the couples. So we've got Kristen and Luke, who we know, and Luke has never been famous. He lives in Colorado, randomly met Kristen, got with her, and then now he's on her podcast and on a show. Brittany and Jax have had fame. Janet and Jason. Janet's been very fame adjacent because she was a personal assistant to a number of A-list celebrities. Nia and Danny. Nia was Miss USA, and Danny was on the Disney Channel. And then I couldn't catch, like, Michelle and Jesse, like, anything related to them in fame. And then Jasmine was on The Bachelorette. And Zach has been Brittany's friend and Kristen's friend and kind of, like, along for the Vanderpump ride.
Yes. Yes.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. I know Janet and Jason. I love them.
I love Janet. I don't know her, but I remember when her father passed and I reached out to her because I feel like we had some mutual friends. And I just think I like how honest she is about who she is as a person. Like, she seems to have like a very realistic idea of herself.
She, I think, is going to be great TV because she's just like an entertaining person to like chat with. So, and I really like her and Jason on the show already. So I'm excited for them. I thought Kristen and Luke, like, I thought that was a bit fast. I thought that was a bit concerning. I thought that was getting a bit codependence. It worries me for her. I mean, how did you have any hot takes on like that? Because I was just watching it and I was like, well, Jax Taylor shouldn't really be weighing in because I don't think Jax Taylor is really like the person that should be judging anyone.
Right.
But, or like assessing anyone, but obviously we're on a TV show and this is what he has to do. But I did kind of think like, whoa, this is like really moving fast. 99% of this guy's life is in Colorado, but he's willing to be here for filming.
Right.
I met him at an event and he was actually very nice and like very level headed and like maybe he'll be great for Kristen, and Kristen's always been very nice. But I just thought that was a bit quick, if I'm being honest.
I don't know that we've ever seen Kristen in a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what worries me. And I think she would be an incredible mother. I think she is so good with other people's kids. It seems like, you know, everyone always said she would be the best babysitter. Like, if I needed anyone to watch my kid, I would trust like their life with her. But I just feel like she has to be with someone at all times and has never done like any inward like work. But I don't want to say that because I don't know, right? But it seems as though she has tried to do work on herself, but then is also still repeating patterns that are not very healthy. That being said, I don't know that anyone should tell anyone else, like, if they should or should not have children, if she's able to provide for them and give them love.
No. And
but
I think
if she the relationship doesn't seem healthy.
If she wants a kid and she's at that age and she just wants to go for it, like, I think she should do it. Like, I would never tell anyone, especially if that's like their desire and they have a timeline, like, go for it. Like, you know what? Like, do what you got to do. And you can provide for the child and like, you'll make it work no matter what. But more so the relationship element, I was like, wow, like, this is feeling a little bit like codependent, where it's like you only had 2 weeks from that other relationship that you ended. And then you jump right into this. And what I will say is he does seem like a nice level-headed guy. So maybe this is just like things working out for her. And it does seem like she's getting therapy while in the relationship. and they like seem to have a pretty good open dialogue from what it seems like, because I know they're like podcast together. So I'm like, maybe this is just it working out for her. And I hope it is, because I just like with all that with anyone, like I just wish them luck and love and like children and whatever they want in that arena. But yeah, when I heard the 2 weeks, I was a little bit worried for her. Not going to lie.
Wasn't her last boyfriend also, people were like, oh, he's level headed and he's like so good for her. And then she just has a history in staying with people during like really toxic fighting. And that ends up being like 6 months of the relationship or more. You know, look at her and Tom Sandoval. She wasn't that young when she was with Tom Sandoval. It's not like she was 20. She was like 30.
Crazy too, because like when I saw that she sold that house,
right? Because he told her.
I was like, I wish she would have like rented it out, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's equity right there. Like, you had a nice, cute little house in Valley Village, and like now you're like living in a rental apartment. And like, it just, I was like, wow, like this guy made you make like a decision that like affected your financial future potentially in like a negative way that would have been good for you to have that equity, you know? I was like mad for her.
I've been saying this like every week. Everyone's probably sick of it. But these people on these shows need to get financial advisors outside of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to stop having so many expenses just because they have money coming in. Like, yes. It is worrisome that Ariana put all her money in her house and then all her money in a business. Like, I'm not saying don't open a business, but maybe wait until you're a little more stable.
Or maybe create a business of like that doesn't have like a big overhead.
Right.
You know? Like, I think that Lala doing all the merch is so smart.
Right.
You know? And obviously it's been lucrative for her. Like, I know so many people that send it to Daryl shirt.
I'm literally wearing this one shirt.
Oh my God. See, literally you're wearing it right now. You're wearing it right at proof. My proof is in the pudding. But I think I think sometimes like a big undertaking when you don't have the time, and then like, you know, there's a lot, it's like a tricky business or whatever. And it's kind of a money pit. That's where, maybe creating like a CPG brand. Like, I would love to see something about her, like condiments, or like, I don't know if they went into something like that. I don't know. I think sometimes like restaurants in general can be such a money pit. Restaurants and bars, it seems like, at least from what I've heard, unless like,
yeah, I don't know much really about lucky. Them at all. And it just always seems like it's people don't make a lot of money in them, which is why I'm always weirded out when restaurateurs have a lot of money. Cause I'm like, unless you're Gordon Ramsay, like you're not doing as well as we probably think you are.
Well, that's why, like, even think about it. Like, there'll be these amazing, huge restaurants, even in New York, and then eventually they close their doors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, from what I've seen, it almost feels like maybe it's, like, more about an ego thing with restaurants than, like, actual money-making. But that being said, like, I feel like with a sandwich business, maybe the overhead is lower, and maybe, like, you can get more sandwiches out, and maybe it could be more lucrative. I don't really know how that all works, but I just know that like the real estate in LA, like, I mean, there's a reason why Pump closed, and it's like they were gonna have to pay $1 million a year just to have that spot, you know?
Oh my God,
like that's insane. So yeah, I agree with you. They all need financial advisors somewhere from like they need to be from like Minneapolis.
Yes, that's where they I grew up.
Like, no way. Okay, we need like a Minnesotan. Like, you know what? I probably need a financial advisor.
My stepmom is a financial advisor. She's
okay. Based we're out all of going to your stepmom,
Minneapolis and Florida, and she gives pretty decent advice. And she mainly does like long term, like retirement planning. But it has to start somewhere, and you know, just like. I don't know. It just worries me because they have a lot of money and they're spending a lot of money. And
I feel like she'd be like horrified by me. She'd be like, and why did you need a makeup artist for that event?
No, she's not like that at all. But I mean, she does really smart stuff. Like, you know, I have she was advising a couple that we know, two women. And she was basically like, you need to get married. You don't have to have a wedding. You just need to go to the courthouse. You need to get paperwork signed because you can't tap into each other's retirement and like without that. And they're older. So it's like you really need to start planning for that, you know? So that's a smart money move. Like, wow. You've been together for 15 years. just, you don't need to tell anyone. Just get wow. the paperwork done.
I feel like that should be a lesbian rom-com though. I want to see that made into a Hallmark movie.
And I was never even thinking about that as, you know, and she's like, no, there's a, you know, and she said also with like two women, you know, women get paid less than men, and two, you know, women household often have less income than a man and a woman household. So you just have to do some planning. And yeah. Anyways, I want to get into Brittany and Jax. So I don't know why I assumed they were fine. I think it's because we haven't seen them and we know they haven't gotten divorced. That I was like, wow, of all the couples, like who would have thought that that one would have made it? And then now they're separated and it sounds like the marriage hasn't been good for a while.
Yeah.
If ever.
Oh, I just, Brittany's so sweet. And I know, like, you know, people have mixed feelings about her, but I think she's so sweet and I think she's going to get her groove back now that he's out of her life, hopefully. I have never really been a Jax fan. I'm not going to lie. I think he's good TV, but I just think he would be the most awful, toxic person to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really happy for her that she's moving on from that, hopefully, because she's just like a sweet person, I think. And I think like he just seems like somebody that would, he's like kind of dimming her light a little bit. And oh, I don't like it. I don't like anything about him. I'm going to be honest with you. I just, he gives me like the worst vibes, and he always has. Like, I just, ugh. How do you feel?
Oh, I mean, she should have never married him.
Mm-hmm.
He showed you who he was. He mm-hmm. had sex with somebody else, and then there's audio tape of him saying how he's not attracted to you. He, like, all of this stuff, he's literally telling you and showing you who he is as a human being. And it's hard because I think she was just so in love with him that she's willing to look past that and willing to believe when he says, I'm going to change, I'm going to work on myself. Past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior.
That's so true. I really hope that she's able to like build herself up, like really build herself up and really confidence. Like have just really good self-esteem mm-hmm. in the future and like just know that she deserves much more than that, you know, in a man, and that like she... Because I think, too, it's like, you know, you can get so caught up in like being in love and stuff, but you have to also like keep that rational part of your brain active where you're like, OK, like this is sort of an interview where I need to like assess this person and like really like take a long, hard look at these things and like, you know, also enjoy it. But like be cognizant as I'm going down this path of dating. OK, like if this person's behaving this way now, a marriage is not going to change this behavior. You know, because I think people like have babies and get married thinking it'll fix something, but then they just end up with the same problems. And now you have a toddler running around or
yeah.
you've bought a house together and you've had a wedding and now you have to get divorced. And so it's just I hate to see it for any woman because it's such it seems like such a pain in the ass to get divorced and especially to have to co-parent. Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
I would hope they would be on the same page about like the kid, because that was something that Jax brought up that I thought was really smart. Have you talked about what kind of parenting you want to do? Have you talked about disciplining? Like all of that stuff you need to talk about way before you get pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to know because and be on the same page and be willing to work through stuff because it's everyone has different ideas of how to raise a child and what to do and what not to do. And it's stressful and you just need to have like a solid foundation and be willing to work through stuff. I think that Nia and Danny seem pretty good for a foundation if they're, you know, 3 under 2, but yeah. I felt so bad for her. I'm like, she is 6 weeks postpartum, this like poor woman crying, you know, because her husband was pantsed in front of like on TV in front of
listen,
all these
it's
kids.
Weird though. You're at a children's birthday
it's
party.
Awful.
I haven't heard of
terrible.
Anyone pantsing anyone since middle
but
school.
Just the fact that like she like retreated and cried. I was like, that's hormones. Like that is because
yeah.
if she was probably, you know, without all the hormone stuff, she probably would have yelled at Jax, right? But like the fact that she just retreated, was embarrassed, was like crying, she's exhausted, she's breastfeeding two human beings. Like,
yes.
What? No. This poor woman, you know? And I just can't imagine having cameras on you 6 weeks postpartum. I can't,
no, I
literally cannot imagine.
I work on a product that's for postpartum women in like my day job. And just hearing what women go through.
Oh my God.
And like the emotional journey and like the physical journey of healing from all that and everything. I don't have kids, but like I can't, it's hard enough, like literally just being a normal human at home on maternity leave, like just dealing with your own mental health and just your physical health. And then a baby that's keeping you up all night. But to have cameras following you, like I think she is so brave. I think Janet, even being pregnant. Doing this, like I'm like, girl, kudos to you, because like it's just a tough phase. Like women go through so much, like their bodies and minds go through so much, like bringing little humans into the world. So I felt for her, but that was also such a weird prank. That's such a weird thing to do.
Who was it? Was it Jesse
at a children's birthday party? What's that?
Was it Jesse that did it?
It was Jax.
It was Jax.
Yeah.
And then Brittany's like, he didn't mean it, you know, and it's like,
oh my God, if I knew you'd be crying, oh my God, you know,
yeah,
so apologetic, but it was just like,
she shouldn't have to apologize for his behavior. The other couple that I was a little bit nervous about was Michelle and Jesse, but it sounds like they're already separated.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd read that as well. I was like, wow, like this is going to be an interesting season. Like, I think the show's shaking out to be good. I like it so far.
Oh, I love it.
And I really like, I mean, I obviously know Janet, but I loved when she was saying that she got the primary bedroom in her, you know, home with a kid. And her mom was a little scared of her. I was like, I was just dying. I was like, that's great. You know, like, I was actually at the filming for one of the episodes. So I've definitely seen some things going on. I can't say anything, but I did have to sign a little waiver. So I don't know. Maybe my head will be in the background of one of the shots. But,
oh my gosh. Need to get your take on all things the Valley kind of moving forward.
Oh God. I think it's going to be great. I really do think it's going to be a good show. Like, and I think everyone was kind of expecting it to flop, but I actually think there's potential for it to be really good. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to definitely keep watching. And I think that Zach is going to be maybe a little bit of a shit stirrer.
I think so too. The Zach and Jasmine of it all is really interesting. Like it's all couples and then it's them. So
yeah.
My final question for you is, how do you see the future of like the Vanderpump Rules versus the Valley? Like, do you see Lala and Sheena kind of moving into the Valley and maybe Vanderpump Rules getting a reboot and everyone else leaving? I don't know.
That's a really good question. I don't know how much time Vanderpump Rules has left, if I'm being honest with you. But you know what? I think we all felt that way right before Scandoval.
We felt that way so many times. I felt that way season 8. I felt that way at the end of season 9.
But like, could Lala and Sheena someday be Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, you know what I mean? Could they move over to the Valley? And like you were saying, like a reboot, could they have a new concept with like new young LA people? Would it have the same magic as like early Vanderpump now that everyone's kind of in that influencer scene here
and already.
Understands it too? I think it was so pure and just, you know, it was such a new frontier when all that started that I just don't know if we could recreate that magic. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. Like, I think they could shift. Some of them could shift into the Valley if the Valley does well and Vanderpump ends. And I think I could see like Lala, like ending up in some crazy situation in the future, like living in some Beverly Hills mansion and like being a really good housewife. But I don't know what, and she could like flex that like, verbal assassin energy in that setting really hard, which would be so great. But I don't know. What do you think? Like how long do you think Vanderpump has?
I have no idea. I don't mind them aging. I get bought into the people, not the concept. Mm-hmm. So I never cared about people working at a restaurant. I don't care about the restaurant. I certainly don't care about Lisa Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. So it's more about I'm interested in these people and like seeing how they evolve over time. I'm invested.
Can we just have the show until they're like 90? Like,
yeah,
I'll keep watching it. You know,
I'm here for it. Like and then people are like, oh, the Summer House cast is, you know, they're getting too old. And I was like, okay, let's see them summer with like kids. Like, let's see what that is. I don't know. I'll keep watching. I'll watch Kyle and Amanda forever.
Literally, like I was hoping that I would be watching like Sonia and Luann in the nursing home. Like that's how I felt about the Real Housewives of New York. And I know that was like a whole shit show. But I like never wanted that show to end, like as it was. I wanted to see those women like for the rest of my life. Like I wanted them to be on my TV forever. And I've enjoyed them through every phase. I enjoyed them when they were younger, when the show started. I've enjoyed them in this like later phase when they're like older and trying to look for love. You know, I've enjoyed them through it all. So that's why I just, I'm right there with you. I buy into the people as well. And I'm so grateful for like things like Ultimate Girls Trip that at least give me a little taste of people, you know,
because I just miss them. One final question. If you were in charge of making another Ultimate Girls Trip, where would you have them go and who would you cast?
Oh my God, this is such a great question. Where would I have them go? Well, it would have to be somewhere, maybe like Croatia or something, like somewhere beautiful,
Mediterranean.
Like ocean, because I feel like with these trips, like you kind of have to get them in a house and then there has to be like beach activities, you know, like I do want to say like it could be cool seeing them have to like trek through Nepal, but like I think maybe like a beach is like more suitable. Like, all right, we're going to climb Everest and that's going to be the trip. And who would I cast? Like, ooh, okay. I guess like I'm a super big fan of like the Roni cast, the OG Roni cast. I really like Beverly Hills and OC. And I think those are my three favorite Housewives franchises because I've like lived in those places or like near. So I enjoy it because I enjoy those Housewives because I have context for where they are. But honestly, I just put all the New York girls back in a house. That's the honest truth. I love a good Vicky moment, even though she's so fucking problematic. Like she's so entertaining.
Everyone's problematic. So,
I mean, even like honestly, like I would never want to give this woman airtime ever. So like this is not a serious casting. But even like Kelly Dodd is so crazy on TV. Like she's so crazy on TV, and like she does not deserve a platform. So never. But like so crazy on TV. You have to throw a few crazy people in there. I miss seeing Tinsley on my screen.
I love Tinsley. I would love to see like her life with that guy and the three kids, like in Augusta, Georgia.
I miss Dale.
Dale.
I miss Dale. I love Dale so much. I'd want to throw Dale on the girls' trip too. Like, you know, and even like Patricia Atchell. Like, I like want to see a show of her and Patricia.
We should do like Dale, Mama D, Patricia.
Yep.
Candy's mom. Like we should just take all the moms.
Actually, I think that would be the trip that I would like to see.
I'd be so fascinated.
In all honesty, because like to me actually Dale and like Patricia and like some of the moms are even more
interesting,
crazy than like their daughters, and it's like, oh well, this is like the even more potent version of like what we've seen on TV. Like these women are like the ones that raised them. They're really, really something.
I would love
even that. Tamara's mom is kind of nuts.
Yes, let's get Tamara's mom, Candy's
mom. Yeah, I want to see the moms. I need a new concept that's like some people I miss. You know who I would like to see in any Ultimate Girls Trip though is Alex McCord. I'm really sad that we're not going to get that. Same. I really was so excited for Alex McCord to return to my screen. And I would like to watch Alex and Simon. I would watch them like Big Brother style, just seeing what they're doing, seeing what they're up to. Cause I know like they're just so wacky. I never wanted them off my TV.
What if their marriage is the one that lasts the longest out of all the housewives?
Oh, I'm sure it will be. Those two were so in love in their weird international dating site they met off of. And like, yeah, I just wish, I wish Simon would like bring back I'm Real. I would like for him to perform it at the next BravoCon. Remember his song?
I would love. He should wear his like, didn't he wear red leather pants?
Yeah. I want Simon back in his performance era. You know?
That would be incredible.
Like, I want him to do a Countess Luann show. Where's that?
Where is that?
I don't know if he has more than one song, but I would literally go and hear him like sing like 10 renditions of it. You know?
Me too.
Have you watched that back, like that Watch What Happens Live back any recently?
No.
You should, because Andy's trying to hold back laughter and his smile, like if you're in a bad mood, it will just like give you like, it'll put you in the happiest mood because it's just amazing.
That is so funny. For me, I watch like when Anderson Cooper like breaks during like segments when he just like can't stop laughing, not on New Year's, but during actual news. Those are my favorite because it's just, His laugh is incredible.
He has such a fit of giggles.
It's the best.
It's like so good. It's so good.
Well, thank you so much for joining. Tell everyone where they can find you, anything you want to plug.
Platform, oh my gosh. Okay, yours. Well, you can find me on the Zen Blonde on everything. And I am doing a big raise for Leukemia Lymphoma Society with Jared Lipscomb.
With Jared, yes.
Vanderpump adjacent. So if you want to donate to that, there's a bunch of information on both of our pages about it. We're Team Sparkle Strong. And I think we're actually doing a pretty cool event that I could probably talk about in a few weeks here. So look out for that. It's going to be in LA. I'll let y'all know when I can actually announce it. But yeah, anyway, just raising for LLS and everything is at the Zen Blonde. And thank you for having me. Like, this is so fun. It was like therapeutic. I'm glad I got to talk about all this today.
I know. I love chatting with you. And I will definitely reach out if I head to LA anytime soon. And hopefully there is another BravoCon this year. I'm a little worried there won't be. But I am planning a post-election trip either way.
No, if there isn't, we will just create the BravoCon cruise we were talking about.
Yes.
And we'll just go rogue and we'll do like an off-brand and we'll corral everyone together and rage against the machine, you know?
Amazing. Or like go to the resort in Cancun that Brock and Sheena got married at and where Carl and Lindsay were supposed to get married at.
We're doing a trip there.
It's like, this is our time. We like invite all the housewives.
100%.
Well, thank you so much. And we will chat soon.
Thanks, Mandy.